Okay, Rabotai, good morning. We're continuing our study of Eshet Chayim. We've been talking about Hasadim Tovim. It's important to point out when we speak about any Midah, especially as we go deeper in understanding the Midah, any Midah that we study in depth, we're probably going to end up very disappointed in ourselves. The way it works in the world of wisdom is that the less you know, the more you think you have. And the more you know, you realize the less you have. That is the way of Chokhmah. I'm going to say it again. In the world of Emet, in the world of truth, in the world of wisdom, the less you know, the more you think you have. The more you know, the less you have. For example, if you would go to a person who doesn't know much, doesn't have much wisdom, and you ask them, do you have any questions? Probably they will tell you no. Very good. Very clear. No questions. But the more a person learns, the more questions they develop. It's interesting. The more you fill up, the more you realize that you're empty. The less you had in the cup, the more full you feel. Very amazing reality that only the Creator can come up with. It's all to give us the ability to choose, because if we felt empty, so by nature, we would try to fill up. If a person who lacks wisdom felt empty, so he would have no choice but to eat. Just like when we're hungry, we have no choice. When people eat, they don't eat necessarily because they decided to. When people eat, they eat because their body is hungry. So they need to eat. If the nature of the person would be to feel their lack of wisdom, then there would be no free choice to acquire wisdom. It would be a hunger that a person needs to satisfy. But Hashem created us so that we can acquire wisdom. And there has to be free choice. So He did something that is, we would think, impossible to do. That a person who's empty feels full, and a person who gets full feels empty. It's one of the great miracles of life. Ignorance makes a person feel fully. In the world of wisdom, when we study actions, when we study mitzvot, it doesn't have the same painful reaction as when we study about midot. Because actions are not as personal as the character of the person. So if I teach someone about something he doesn't do on Shabbat right, it's a little painful to know that I didn't do it right, but not nearly as painful as when you tell a person that you're selfish. Now, we never told anyone they're selfish in the last week, but all we've been talking about is a subject that makes everyone feel selfish. that is a lot more painful to the listener than if we would be talking about an action that he's been doing not 100% right. Because when you talk about character, you talk about the person himself, not what he does. You are selfish. Now, of course, because of ignorance, you were thinking that you were the biggest Baal Hesed since Abraham Avinu. Ignorance makes a person feel intelligent. Ignorance makes him feel kind. And all the wonderful midot, a person feels that they have them. So when we talk to people about character, you're talking about something very personal. And if you're successful in your discussion, so it means that the one that's walking out is going to be feeling a lot more pain than other subjects. When it comes to character, if people don't walk away feeling a little pain, so probably you spoke about the subject in a roundabout way with not the full depth. You gave a very inspiring talk on Hesed, on helping people. People could come out flying because they heard this story, they heard this thing, they said, beautiful. But if they walk out with a little extra pain, probably means you haven't really hit the subject at its core. You've discussed very nice things about it and maybe inspired people to do it, but you haven't gone to the core of the person. So beware. If you're listening to real Musal in the area of Midot, you know you've succeeded if you're feeling bad. You know that you went to the right class because you're feeling empty. So much so that you want to turn off the class because why do I have to feel that I'm not a kind person the way I thought? So when you have those feelings, it means you hit the right chord. Not a reason to walk out of the class. It's not a reason to check out. In the world we live in the physical world, when we find comfort, we like to stay more. When we feel uncomfortable, we like to leave. If the room gets too hot, we walk out. But in the world of Midot, it's the opposite. When you're feeling a little uncomfortable, then you know you're in the right place. And when you're feeling very comfortable, when you hear about Midot and you're feeling very good that you're in the right place, so you're probably in the wrong place. Feeling bad about what I thought I was to the reality I just learned about, while it's uncomfortable, the reaction to it is critical. Some people, they take that feeling, they get down on themselves, they feel unaccomplished. Just because you're far from where you need to be, that doesn't mean you're not accomplished. You've done a lot of good in your life. Just because we tell a person you're far away from where you can reach, it doesn't mean that you haven't done anything good in your life. But some people, when they feel bad that they're not where they're supposed to be, so they become down on themselves, they become judgmental of themselves, that they're incapable people. They become people that look at a past and see disappointments and feel like they haven't done anything. And if they haven't done anything till now, they probably won't do anything more. And they become like Adam HaRishon, who when Hashem asked him, did you eat from the fruit that I told you not to eat? He said to Hashem, not only did I eat, but I'm going to eat again. Which was not a reaction of disrespect. It was a reaction of reality. He felt that after you made me, you created me, you gave me an opportunity, I was pure, and I still messed up. How can I ever live without messing up? I was pure, and I still did the wrong thing. Now, after I sinned, I'm not as pure. For sure, I'm going to eat again. This is called Ye'ush. It's called despair. When a person sees that something is wrong in himself or in his life, so what reaction does the person have when they feel that pain? The Yetzer Hara loves when you feel pain about yourself, because it gives him a powerful stage to make you feel unaccomplished, unhappy, and even sometimes depressed. We have one of the rules of Teshuvah, it's called regret. Regret, people would probably imagine it means a person who is sad over his past. He's probably down on himself because of what he's done in his life. He regretted it. He regretted it. Regret means my feelings are those of sadness and I feel down. Like I need a drink to make me happy. But that's not what regret means. Regret is not sadness. There's no such thing as sadness being part of a person's life. Sadness is a terrible state to be in. A person has to always be in a state of simha. Without simha, a person is not living up to his human potential. Impossible to live up to our capabilities without simha in any area. If we're not happy at work, we're not going to work the way we're supposed to. If we're not happy in a marriage, we're not going to be accomplished in the marriage. If we're not happy with our children, we're not going to be able to accomplish. People think mistakenly that when they succeed in life, they become happy. But this is a terrible error. It's a mistake. It's the happiness of a person that brings him to be successful in any area. The Yetzer Hara's biggest prize is a person who is unhappy. Unhappy for a day is terrible. Unhappy for a week is worse. Unhappy even for a minute is something that could hurt the person. A lack of simha is his biggest gift. Once he has a person unhappy, he could go on vacation. He doesn't need much to bring the person down. Automatically, the person like a snowball, will just go downhill. Unhappiness breeds failure. It's automatic. It's a cause and effect. You're unhappy in any area, you're going to fail. That's the way life works. So if he can get you to be unhappy, he doesn't have to do anything. His job is done. So chas v'shalom, a person should think that one of the steps to make teshuvah, which means to make a change, to upgrade his life, that one of the steps is to be unhappy. Because if that's how you translate regret, so you're thinking that to make teshuvah, I have to be unhappy. How can I be happy with all the terrible mistakes I made in my life? That is what the Yetzirah wants you to understand. He took the word regret, harata, and he wants you to understand it means to be sad. You can never be sad about your mistakes. That's not where you need to be. It's called, regret is something totally different. Regret means I understand the loss. Now that I learned something, I understand the value of the loss of the things that I was missing. I regret that I wasn't keeping Shabbat for so many years. What does that mean? It means that I understand the tremendous loss of not having Shabbat in my life. I see the damage that it caused me. I have a proper assessment of a value that I didn't know about before. Before, I thought Shabbat was nothing. What am I missing? Not missing anything. And all of a sudden, I learned today that I was missing a tremendous amount all these years. When I realize a value that I didn't realize before, so I have feelings called regret. I now see the value that I didn't see till now. And I even see sometimes the damage that it caused. I didn't realize that when you talk this way, you're causing damage. I didn't know. So I've been talking this way for 15 years. And now I come and I learn that this is not the way. Ah, I regret the way I spoke. I now realize that what I was doing was causing damage to my relationships and to my life. So whenever you have a new value for something that you didn't know about before or didn't know as much, the feelings are regret. The feelings are, I wish I could have known this before, so I could have done it the right way. That's what regret means. I wish I would have been this wise when I was younger. I wish when I went to high school that I knew what I know now, because if I would go back to high school now, I would take so much more advantage of the things that were offered to me. I would have made so many decisions in a better way. I wish I went back to school now. Or I wish I knew then what I know now. Regret. I wish that when I got married, I went to learn by this rabbi, because now that I learned, I could have done things so much better. I made so many mistakes. I wish I learned about anger 35 years ago, because if I knew what anger is and what triggers it and how I could own my real thoughts without getting angry and getting upset, I wish I would have saved myself 35 years of all kinds of comments and destruction. That's regret. If a guy makes teshuvah and he says, you know, the truth, I would never trade the anger of the last 35 years. Loved it. Right now, I have to learn not to be angry. That is no teshuvah. If you loved your Hilul Shabbat of 35 years, if you say, listen, now I'm making teshuvah, I'm going to keep Shabbat. But I would never trade the last 30 years of Hilul Shabbat. That was, oh, magnificent. So the guy going forward is going to keep Shabbat, but that's not called teshuvah. Teshuvah means you understand the value of what you're doing. And you understand that based on this value, you wish you could have gotten those Shabbatot back. You wish you could have gotten those years again. So this time you would do it the right way. That's why Teshuvah has the ability to rewrite your past. Why does Teshuvah have the ability to rewrite your past? Hachamim tells us, oh, you didn't keep Shabbat the right way. You make Teshuvah, wipe off. How? Because since in your reality today, you wish you could do it again. And if you would have the chance, you would do it all right. Hashem considers that as if you did it again. Regret means I now see the value. Or the opposite, I see what I was doing was not valuable. And I wish I never did it. And I wish I could do it again. And this time I would do it all right. No depression, no sadness. Just a realization that I did not take advantage. And obviously, such a person can't wait for the first Shabbat to come. That person can't wait for the next time he has something to say to someone who got him upset. Can't wait to react properly going forward. A person's excited to take this new information and use it in the way it's supposed to be used. That's called regret. There's nothing said about regret. Unfortunately, the Yetzer Hara wants you to look back at your past and say, start the right way. Oh, I wish I did it the right way. Oh, you didn't do it the right way. So after so many years of doing it, you're hopeless, you're zero. You've destroyed your life. There's nothing to do. These are the kinds of things he wants you to be going down the road. A regret that leads to sadness is not teshuvah. A regret is supposed to empower you going forward. Regret says, oh wow, I could be so much more, I could do so much. So therefore, what we're learning about midot, we have to deal with this reality of a human being. When you attack someone Shabbat, it's not as painful as when you attack him. You know, we've been learning the last week about Hesed. And every day we get up and say, oh, I thought I came in day number one. I thought I was Baal Hesed at 100%. Day number two, we stripped off 10%. Now we're 90. Day three, by the time you're here for a week, you haven't done chesed in your whole life. Yeah, you didn't do one right thing. Right, you walk out like a hasida. You realize that all your chesed had some blemish in it. And after a week, you realize you haven't done good in your life. I don't mean to, it's a little exaggeration, of course. But that's the feelings. The question is, where does that take you? Person, a healthy person, a non-healthy person, probably not good to listen to these questions. But a healthy person takes them and it empowers them to go forward. Adraba, on the contrary, a healthy person takes their past and learns from the past. They say there's no one greater than the one who had the experience. For someone to tell you that something isn't good, it's nice to hear it and probably wise to listen to it if the person is reliable. But for the person themselves to realize the ill effects of anger, they experienced it. For a person themselves to see the destruction when Shabbat is lacking in the home. When the person experiences mistakes, it actually can make him greater than the person who never experienced it. That's why it says, Sheva yipol tzaddik vakam. The great people are the ones who get up after many times of falling. Which means that if he didn't fall, he wouldn't be as great. Somehow when a person falls, it actually gives him more power going forward. So actually, when a person makes a mistake, and then they become aware, because of their mistakes, they're now much more capable of going forward with much greater strength, a much more clarity, because they understand what they're learning, because they experienced it. Because maybe 2 years ago, they had a relationship and there was a lot of chesed in that relationship, but it didn't go well. It ended up not materializing the way a chesed relationship is supposed to work. So all these years I have questions. I had a relationship, a lot of chesed between me and the other person. Olam chesed yibaneh. The world is created with chesed. A relationship is created with chesed. I don't know what went wrong. All I'm doing is chesed for the other person. How come it didn't go well? After you learn, you look back and you say, oh, now I understand. I understand why my chesed didn't do the job. Because it really wasn't the chesed that is called chesed tov. Ah, okay. Now going forward, I have not only wisdom, but I have real life experience. Sheva yipol tzaddik, the person who hears new information and it causes regret, he's supposed to walk out empowered. Because not only did he learn something, but he also experienced the other side and is now ready to go forward. Such an amazing difference between how people can react to the same information. And like I mentioned, when it comes to midot, it's very difficult to hear that me, that I isn't as great in an area that till now I thought I was. But Baruch Hashem, we're learning. Baruch Hashem, we're taking it in. Hashem knows we're not perfect. Hashem knows we're human. In fact, Hashem, when Adam HaRishon ate from the fruit, he didn't condemn him because he ate. He asked him, did you eat? The pasuk didn't say he ate. Hashem told him, oh, you ate. You're done. You brought death onto the world. You're now cursed that you have to work. It's not what happened. Hashem didn't condemn Adam for what he did. Hashem told him, did you eat? Of course, Adam didn't take responsibility. All he had to do was say, I made a mistake. I take responsibility. I'm going to try to be better. That's all Hashem wanted to hear. And then, no death would have been brought upon him or his future. He wouldn't have the curse of working. If you look in the Torah, you'll see it wasn't the mistake that led to the consequence. It was the lack of ownership. Hashem knows we're not perfect. Hashem knows that we made mistakes and we will probably make more. But what he does want from us is that we take responsibility. And do our best. And part of doing our best is educating ourselves. And lifting. And going higher and higher. Midot don't change in one day. That's another reason why it's frustrating to learn about midot. Shabbat, you tell me I wasn't keeping Shabbat. I thought my whole life I'm keeping Shabbat. I didn't realize now how to cook on Shabbat. I didn't know. I didn't know. So I go to a class and listen, you can't cook on Shabbat. Can't cook on Shabbat. That means I was mehalel Shabbat all these years. Yeah, right, exactly. Oh, terrible. Okay, from now on, I'm going to keep Shabbat. How long, how many Shabbats is it going to take before you fix the problem? One, in the world of action, it's not gradual. You don't slowly keep Shabbat. People have this misunderstanding, step by step. In the world of action, there's no step by step. In the world of action, it's immediate. Imagine a guy is taken to court for murder. Plenty of witnesses. He murdered a lot of people. The judge says, okay, hayam mita, death sentence. It's a terrible crime. Anything you want to say? He gets up in front of the judge. He says, Your Honor, please, I know I did bad. I feel terrible. I commit. Why are you putting me away? Because you think I'm dangerous to society? I'm committing myself that going forward, I'm not going to murder anymore. Of course, it's hard for me. I'm used to murdering 10 people a week. But I'm going to take the, you know, I'm going to get there. I'm going to murder 5 people a week in the beginning. It won't be as bad. And then the next week, maybe 4 and 3. And I hope in a few months from now, I'll be able to be clean. All right. You'll forgive me for such insulting stories. Judge says, what are you talking about? It's hayam mita double now. He's more dangerous than we thought. In the world of action, there's no such thing as step by step. If you're stealing, you got to stop stealing. If you're not keeping Shabbat, you keep Shabbat. We're capable, humans are capable of changing their actions immediately. You don't need time to change your actions. It's only perhaps laziness, perhaps you have other issues that you don't want to change. That could be. But there's nothing stopping a human from changing their acts on the spot. I do not steal anymore. That's it. I used to steal. I don't steal. Done. Actions could change momentarily. However, midot, not like that. In the world of character, you cannot change on the spot. It's very frustrating, therefore, to go and hear real clarities in any characteristic that now makes you realize that you're not where you were or where you thought you were. So not only is it so painful because it's hitting you at the core, describing you, but it's frustrating because you can't even get up and say, okay, you know what? I was not yet a Baal Chesed, but now I get up and I declare I'm a Baal Chesed. Can't do it. Doesn't work. In the world of Midot, there's no such thing as immediate change. It doesn't work. So that's why it's extra frustrating. You listen to a class about Midot and you look at yourself, if you're honest, if you feel regret, and you can't even change on the spot. You're the same angry guy you walked in, even though you now have an encyclopedia of knowledge about anger, but you're still angry. You know so much about Chesed, but you're still selfish. And you can't change it on the spot. Now we understand why it's possible to get very frustrated. Because you're hitting the person at his core and he can't get up and say, done. Inspire a guy for Shabbat, the first Shabbat, done. Midot take a long time to refine. And Hashem knows that. He made us like that. The key is to take ownership and to start doing what it takes to make it happen. How does a person change their character? You're learning about Hasadim Tovim, and you're realizing, according to the way we're learning, our Hasadim are not really the right way. They're more, a lot of them are self-interest Hasadim. You learn about the Hasida, who does kindness only with her Eilis. So you realize that's self-serving. So what are you supposed to do? The only way for a person to change their character is after they learn and educate themselves, like we're doing. Then they take steps. What does that mean, steps? Chachamim tell us that a person's inner reality changes through their actions. Which means if you do an act again and again and again and again, it starts to become your inner reality. Take an extreme example of a person who doesn't like to give any money to anybody. Very much, he likes to keep what he works for himself. Has a hard time giving to someone else. Doesn't really feel people's pain. So the suggestion is, he has to give every day. He starts to give and give and give and give. And after a month or two or three, he starts to actually change his desire. And one day, he will be the kind of person that says to you, Today, I didn't give. I feel empty. Wait, you're the same guy I met 10 years ago? 10 years ago, you had no desire to give. Today, you're in pain if you don't give. How did that happen? It could only happen through action. Action changes the inner person. We're learning about hasadim tovim. How do you change? How do you make my chesed more pure? Simple. You see a stranger in the hallway, you have nothing to do with him. Someone who can't help you, someone that can't benefit you, give him a warm hello. That's called practice of hasadim tovim. Take an interest in him for a moment. That's a practice. You see another guy, do it again. All of a sudden, you're putting your hasadim tovim because the person that you're connecting to has no money to give you, has no honor to give you, is not relevant to you now and probably not ever. So now you see that kind of guy? Hasadim tovim. Make an effort in the beginning. You have to push yourself because it's not your natural self. But do what it takes if you had the natural self. And if you keep doing it that way, if you keep paying attention to people that are not as important, people that are not as useful to you, if you keep at it, all of a sudden you will become that. Hashem doesn't expect us to come into this world and be perfect, especially not in midot. In fact, He made us with bad midot. We are born with bad midot. Selfishness from birth. Jealousy from birth. Anger from birth. Look at a little baby. He doesn't know anything. You can't even teach him to add 1 + 1 yet. Not capable of understanding that 1 + 1 = 2. He doesn't understand that. Yet, he knows how to be jealous. The jealousy feeling is very real by him. Whenever he sees someone get something he doesn't have, his mother's holding the other baby, makes him very upset. Feeling of jealousy. The feeling of anger. See, he gets angry when he doesn't get what he wants. Selfish. Takes everything for himself. Where did he learn that from? Hashem created every person with bad midot. People ask sometimes when a relationship doesn't go so well. Two people get married. That's the real test of midot right there. Marriage. Two people get married, it doesn't go so well. Then you have people commenting. What went wrong? What went wrong? And of course, the wise answer to this question is nothing went wrong. Everything went right. He was born with terrible midot, and she was born with terrible midot. And instead of spending the first 20 years of their life trying to elevate and change their midot, they just waited 20 years to get married without doing anything in between. So they're the same baby that was crying, screaming, selfish, jealous person that now got older and knows how to figure out a way to hide what the baby doesn't hide, but it's still all there. And now you put these two guys together. What is the hidush exactly? What went wrong? The question should be, is it possible to go right? You know, it says that Hazal tell us that before a baby's born, already Hashem has chosen for them their spouse. That means when you're born, you already have your shiduch. If you're 12 years old, your shiduch is probably somewhere near you. Chosen. So the question is, if the shiduch is already chosen, so why not come into the world together? Why not Hashem create twins? One boy and the shiduch. That would be the most logical way. If it's already chosen, so why not come on that way? And if you say maybe they're too immature, okay, by the age of 12 and 13, why don't we get married at that age? Why not get married at the age of 12 or 13? We're already hayav in mitzvot. The answer to this question is very simple. The reason why Hashem didn't make us come out with the person He chose is because we're not capable of making a success. Because we're born with bad midot. Bad midot don't make good relationships. Fact. No external, no money can make up for bad midot. No possessions can make up for bad midot. No housing can make up for bad midot. Nothing could make up for bad midot. So a person is born with bad midot, there's no way for them to succeed. And the goal of the next 20 years of their life, the first 12, 13, you can't even hold them accountable. Because that's their parents' job. But between the age of 12, 13, and 20, the most critical years of a person's life. Because there they need to turn the ra to tov. Amazing. In the country we live in, those are the most wasted years of life. Look at a person's life. When is the year that is most wasted? Teenage years. Yes, you have some guys serious, maybe about their future, want to be a doctor, a lawyer, they go to school, they learn, but they're also wasted. Because the most important part of that time in a person's life is to develop their character. Going to medical school doesn't make you a person of character. So how many teenagers, how many people between the age of 12 and 20, 13 and 21, how many people in this country are thinking, ah, these are important years, I got to really refine my inner character? Very, very few. These are the years to party. These are the years just freedom, whatever you want. Go backpacking, go around the world. The most crucial years of a person's life to take the ra, the ben midot that they're born with, not their fault. That's why a person can never, ever feel too bad when they hear about their ben midot. You always have to remember, Hashem put them in you. You're not a bad person. Hashem put the ben midot inside of you. You got to change it. Most critical years of a person's life, the teenage years, for character refinement. What a tragedy when people of the most important age waste their time and then they say, how come it didn't work out? How come things are rocky in the marriage department in this country? Why are they rocky? You have a question about that? Character refinement is something real. And the more you know about what real character is, the more you understand that you have a lot of room to grow. So as we learn, hopefully, and hit some chords, if you feel a chord was hit somewhere in your soul, and you say, ouch, to the point that you say it can't be. Can't be. Come on, stop it. Too extreme. this rabbi is making this up. Then nothing I'm making up. Everything is, first of all, clear. Everything everyone would agree with. And it's all Torah shebichtav and Torah shebalpeh. There's nothing extreme about it. It's reality. It makes sense. Midot anar hokim. Midot character is not like the laws. We don't understand para aduma. Very logical. Everything makes sense. But when a person feels pain, sometimes they react the wrong way. Baruch Hashem, we have the zechut to learn day in and day out. Real musar, really identifying what is the best and what's not the best, and being able to give ourselves the ability to strive to get to where we need to be, because where we need to be will produce a lot of goodness in all areas of our lives. Good midot produce beautiful people and beautiful relationships. It's a fact of life. Be'ezrat Hashem, we should have always the proper reaction when we learn something that we didn't yet know. And we realize that maybe what we thought is not the reality. Regret is wonderful. Regret means I now see the value. I wish I could have done that again. But the very least, going forward, I'm going to make it work. And not only that, I'm going to use my past mistakes to be my engine to go forward. This is the way a person reacts, and they start doing one by one, one act at a time, one act at a time, in whatever area they're trying to perfect, will turn the person from the creation of Ra to a life where he accomplished in becoming Tov. Baruch Adonai Le'olam Amen.